I just want to start with one text verse tonight in Psalm 127 in verse 1. The Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Let's have a word of prayer. The title of the message tonight is going to be Building a Christian Home. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before You tonight, Lord, my heart is just touched with the need. Lord, I know my own life, and I know my own home and family, and Lord, what You have done and how You have worked and all the things, and also other families, Lord, in our church. And Lord, we're such a needy people. We need You, Lord. And I pray that You'd help us tonight. Help me, Lord, as we talk about these things that You have laid on my heart, Lord, as it relates to building a building and building a Christian home. Lord, help each one of us tonight to see how so important that is. And Lord, that we would just allow our minds just to not be distracted tonight and just really focus on what Your Word has for us. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1, tells us, you know, as we read the verse again, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Our verse tells us trying to build a Christian home without the Lord is a vain endeavor. It's a worthless labor. It's a worthless effort. The word "build" has the idea of to establish. And if I think that I'm going to establish a Christian home for my family outside of the Lord, then all the work that I put into it is going to be worthless. It's going to be in vain. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do" what, church? "Nothing." Without me, the Lord says, ye can do nothing. And I want to be very clear about this tonight as I begin. Anything good or positive that has ever come or comes out of my home is not because of me. It's in spite of me. Yes. Anything that God has ever done in our family, it's only the grace of God and His working in our hearts and lives. Yes. And the same is true for every Christian home represented here tonight. There's absolutely nothing good that I can do in my home outside of the Lord. Paul said himself in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform it, form that which is good, I find not," Paul said. C.H. Spurgeon made this statement. He said, "Men desiring to build know that they must labor, and accordingly, they put forth all their skill and strength. But let them remember that if Jehovah is not with them, their designs will prove to be failures. Without God, we are nothing." And again, just to restate, as Brother Moore prayed tonight, we are a needy people. So as we talk tonight about building a Christian home, first of all, let's talk about the builders. Well, once you know what you're going to build, you need to know who the builders are going to be. And so, as we think about the Christian home, just this question tonight, who are the builders? Who are the builders of the Christian home? Well, the builders of the Christian home are every member of that family. Every single member of the Christian family is a builder. And while we know that parents is given to them by the Lord, by God, it's their responsibility to train their children, but it's the responsibility of everyone in the home to participate in the building of a Christian home. So as we talk tonight, as we go through this message, understand this message is for every single member of the Christian home. We're talking about fathers and husbands. We're talking about mothers, wives. We're talking about children of all ages. Every single member of the Christian family is a builder of the Christian home. And because every member of the family is a builder, every member must learn his responsibilities for building a Christian home. Now, so over the next several months, as we see work being done on the new building over there, we're going to see all kinds of different workers out there. There are going to be all different types of people out working on the building. We've already seen people out there with bulldozers pushing dirt. We're going to see some people bring in, they're going to be pouring concrete. Then there's going to be some people that will actually start the structure and framing the building. There'll be people doing electrical work, all types of work inside the building. Numbers and numbers of different things. All sorts of different skilled people will be coming over here, and they will be doing all sorts of aspects of the building. They are all part of building this building. Every single one of them has a responsibility. They have a specific role that they were brought here to accomplish, that they will be coming here to do. But how do all these people get to be able to do what they're going to come here to do? They didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I think I'm going to jump in a bulldozer and push some dirt. I think I'm just going to jump in a concrete truck and pour some concrete. No, they had to learn. They had to learn to do the responsibility, had to learn the role, their specific job that they were given to do. And as we think about that thought, and we think about the Christian home, as we think about the family, everyone in the family is a builder of the Christian home. Therefore, each member has an important and specific role in building the home. As you sit here, I know many of our teenagers are gone. They're away at camp this week, and so we have all different ages here, but every single member of the family has a specific role in building the home. And because of that, all the members of the family should have some level of understanding of what their role is. I don't believe that any one of us in here want to be thrown into a situation or a circumstance or a job and they don't know what they're supposed to do. Some of us probably hate that more than others, all right? But however, we want to know what our job is. We want to know what our role is. We want to know what's expected of us. Somehow, I think, though, in the Christian family, that's not as important for whatever reason. We don't feel and see the importance of knowing what God's Word tells us is our specific role and responsibility. But we need to. We need to know what that is. And that understanding, just like these workers that will come over here, that understanding is not going to come automatically. All right? That understanding is not instinctive. We must learn it. We must learn our role. And that requires training from God's Word for everyone in the family. I want you to turn in your Bibles this evening to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. God tells us in His Word that each member of the family has God-given responsibilities in building the Christian home. I'm not going to take the time tonight to look at each member of the family, what God's Word, what the Bible tells us is the duties of the husband and the father and the wife and the mother and the children. We won't take time to look at all those individually. I'm sure those things will be dealt with in later messages. Some of them have already been talked about last week. But I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." You see, the Bible goes through every single member of the family, every single role. He addresses wives and says that they have a responsibility. He addresses husbands and say that they have a responsibility. He addresses children. And I want to just take a minute as we talk about children. As we think about younger children, we know that we tell our children, you know, God's Word says, children, obey your parents. You know, there's not a whole lot that is required of children other than learning to obey parents, helping them learn to obey God and God's Word. But I do want to say this. I want to address those that may be here tonight that are a little older. Maybe you just recently graduated from high school. Maybe you graduated a year or two ago. Maybe you're a younger adult, college age, whatever the case may be, and you're still a part of the family. You're still a part of the Christian home. And you may not be thinking at this stage in your life about building a Christian home. That may not be what you're, you know, what you spend your time thinking about and working on and those types of things. But I want to say this, and I believe in our church tonight that there are moms and dads that are working really, really hard trying to build a Christian home, but it's a little harder for them because they got started a little bit later than they wish they would have. They spent some time in their young adult age kind of living for themselves. And right now they're trying to play catch up in their homes, in their families. And I just want to say, if there are any of our young adults, college age, young people here, understand you have a responsibility in the home. And if I could take some of these young families, these young moms and dads, and give them an opportunity to tell you something, I guarantee many, if not all of them, would say, don't wait. Start now. Amen. Start now working on building a Christian home. Amen. Because if not, you're going to be dealing with the consequences of having to play catch up in the home. And that's not what God intends. So don't waste years of your life. Don't waste years of your life living for yourself. Do everything you can right now. He also addresses husbands, but I think it's interesting. Paul here addresses husbands and fathers. Husbands and fathers, because of the role that not just husbands, but fathers play. The absolute strong role that fathers play. Each one of these roles is so very important in the Christian home. All right, so in order to build a Christian home, each member of the family must learn how to accomplish their responsibilities. How do we do that? What book do I get? Well, yeah, there's all sorts of books and resources and things that are good, that are helpful. We ought to be using those things. But God has given us what we need. Every member of the family, wives, ought to be crying out to God, God, please, teach me how to be a Christian mom. Teach me how to be a Christian wife. Teach me to be the wife and mother that I need to be. Husbands ought to say, God, please teach me. Teach me how to be the husband that I need to be. How to love my wife the way that I need to love my wife. Children ought to be crying out to God, God, teach me how to learn to obey, how to be the young person that you want me to be. Fathers, God, teach me how to be the father and to lead this home that you've placed me in. We ought to be crying out to God for Him to teach us through His Word how to be what God has called us to be, how to take the responsibility and the role that God has given us. You know, thinking about the duties and the builders of the Christian home, it's so important that we're trained. You know, one of the things that those of us on staff, and really a lot of us here at this church, like to do is we like to go out to eat, and one of our favorite places or most common places to go is Little Italy. All right, we Brother Tom, he's amening that. All right, we like going to Little Italy. The folks there are wonderful. We love the people there, the workers there. The food is great. But as wonderful as those folks are and as great as the food is, I believe all of us would say if Pastor Broyhill decided that he wanted to hire the folks over at Little Italy to come and build this building, we would all think that's absurd. Why would we do that? You know, they're great at making spaghetti, but they don't know a thing about building multi-million-dollar buildings. All right? And so as we think about that, it would be foolish to expect untrained family members to build a Christian home. They can labor and labor and labor and labor, but without God, it's all in vain. And some Christian families, however, neglect this important aspect of training. What happens? We talked about this a little bit. What happens when a family neglects to learn the responsibility set before them in God's Word? Well, remember what our verse in Psalm 127 says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. They labor in vain that build it. Any family that neglects the training needed from God's Word is laboring to build a Christian home without the Lord being a part of it, and all that labor is going to be in vain. For that untrained family, God's law of the harvest is going to prove to be true. You know the law of the harvest. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You're going to get out of your home what you put into it. You're going to get out of your home what you put into it. And I want to make this statement, I want to say this, and this is to every family member, to wives, to husbands, to children, to fathers. You may be really, really good at doing crafts. You may have a great social media following. You may be very skilled at hunting and fishing and all these things. There's nothing wrong with any of it. We all enjoy some of these things. But you may be skilled in some of these things, in hunting and fishing. And you know, you may be a great golfer. You may be really, really good at your job. And you may be just really just very successful. You may enjoy working out, and that may be part of what you really do. You may be a great, as a young person, maybe a great basketball player or baseball player, or maybe you're a great musician, or maybe you're just a great student, and the list can go on and on and on and on. And you may devote your time to perfect that craft or that hobby. But if that's what you spend your time in your life trying to perfect, and if you seldom, if ever, seek to improve your role as a Christian wife or a Christian husband or a Christian young person or a Christian father, then you're going to reap exactly what you've sowed. And you're not going to reap what you don't sow. And we need to understand that. My former pastor back in Virginia years ago, in fact over 25 years ago, I was preaching some sermons on the family, and in one of those sermons, he made this statement: "Choice determines the harvest. We cannot sow. We cannot sow a mediocre Christian life for 20 to 25 years, and then expect to produce a spiritually mature family for the Lord. You're going to reap what you sow, and if our time and energy." Well, none of those things are wrong in their place. But if all of our time and energy is devoted to those things, then at the end of it all, you're just going to be great at those things. But when you're looking to have a spiritually mature family, it's not going to be there. So first of all, it takes trained builders to build a Christian home. The second thing I want to look at tonight is the building materials. The building materials. Pastor Clarence Sexton, in his book, Determined to Have a Christian Home, he talks about going on a tour around the area with a local builder to look at some houses that the builder had built. And those of you who are involved in that line of work, you understand this. But he learned that there are different grades of materials that could be used to build each house. And the cost of the house depended on the quality of the materials used. And so when looking at the different houses that they were looking at, the building with the least expensive materials was just as much a house as those that were the most expensive, because they were built for the same purpose. The only difference was in the quality of the materials. And the point is that it costs more to have a better house because of the quality of materials. And if we feel like tonight, as we're considering all this, we're thinking about what God's Word is telling, God's speaking to our heart, and we feel like we're laboring in vain to have a Christian home, then maybe we need to examine the quality of the materials that we're using to build our home. What truly makes a genuinely Christian home? Is it just being a Christian? Can we say, okay, I'm a Christian, spouse is a Christian, children are Christians, so we have a genuinely Christian home? Is it that, okay, we're Christians and we faithfully attend church? We're there every time the doors are open. We're faithful in our ministries. We're actively involved. Is that what makes a genuinely Christian home? What materials are we using to build our Christian home? If we're not using materials that are fit to build a Christian home, then we can labor all we want, but that labor is going to be in vain. That labor is going to be in vain. Last summer, Interestingly enough, as one of the opportunities that I had to preach, I preached a message entitled Revival in the Home. And we talked about improving our communication in the home. We talked about improving our love for one another in the home. We talked about changing the spirit in our homes, changing a spirit of pride to a spirit of humility. We talked about changing a spirit of bitterness to a spirit of brokenness, a spirit of accusation to a spirit of forgiveness. And Paul talks about these, to many of these points in Colossians chapter 3. I won't take time tonight to read through, but in verses 12 through 14, he lists many of those different things that we talked about in that message last year. But as well, these are some quality building materials for a Christian home. But Paul continues on in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, by mentioning other quality building materials that we should be using to build our Christian home. Look in Colossians 3, look at verse 15. Paul says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Let's look at a few more of these quality building materials that every genuinely Christian home needs to have. First of all, I see prayer. Notice in verse 15 it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." How do we get that? What does the Bible tell us how we get the peace of God to rule in our hearts? It's by prayer. Many Christian homes are full of fear, worry, and anxiety instead of being filled with prayers to God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then it says, "And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Our first reaction many, many times is to worry, to have fear, to have anxiety, and not to pray. A quality building material for our Christian home is prayer. Another thing that he says at the end of verse 15, he says, "And be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. Thankfulness. That is another quality building material that we need to have in our homes. So many problems that we experience, and we know this. We know this, and we could give instance after instance in our homes and families. So many problems that come in our home come from discontentedness. Discontentedness in our own lives, discontentedness with others in our family, discontentedness with whatever, okay? Whatever it may be. But having a spirit of thankfulness will keep those problems from doing damage to our home. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We need to determine to have a thankful heart. That is a quality building material for a Christian home. A third thing I see is, obviously this is foundational, but it's the Word of God. Look at verse 16. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." God's Word must be the foundation of our homes. We won't turn there, but in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus talks about the wise man and the foolish man building their houses on the rock and on the sand. But he starts those verses by saying, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," or in the foolish man's instance, "doeth them not." Our foundation for everything that happens in our homes must be the Word of God. It's through God's Word that the learning and the training takes place for wives and husbands and children and fathers. If God's Word is not preeminent in our homes, then all of our labor, all of our building is going to be in vain. A fourth thing that I want to mention as a quality building material is edification and encouragement. Look again in verse 16. Down further it says, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We could say a lot of things about that verse, but we should be working daily to be building up and encouraging one another as opposed to tearing one another down. edifying, encouraging one another. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I've heard this said many, many times before. I've heard it said to me many times before. You know, we know things are going to happen. There's going to be conflict because we live with imperfect people, and there's going to be things that happen. We just need to determine, as I said, it's been said many times before, how about let's just have a little grace? Amen. Let's have a little grace. Because that's exactly what's been shown on us, edification and encouragement. Well, it takes trained builders and quality building materials to build a home. But I want to conclude tonight with looking at the building process. The building process. So when will the building process of this new building stop? Well, that's pretty obvious once it's done. When it's complete, you know, when we finally get it all in there and everything is done, all the outside work is done, all the inside work is done. When that building is complete, it'll be done. Let's say a few months from now, we start seeing some real progress. All right, we start seeing some real progress over there, and things are starting to take shape, and there's enough work that's done out there. When we drive up, we can actually tell that's going to be a building. It's going to be a building that's out there. Then all of a sudden, Pastor Broyhill, he gets this idea, and he goes out there and says, well, we've been working on this project for a while now, and now that we know that it's going to build a building, let's just go ahead and shut it all down. All right? It's obvious that it's going to be a building. We'll just send everybody home at this point. And you say, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Why would you start a process or a project that you don't intend to finish or that you don't complete? Why would you even do that? And I would agree, and we would all say the same thing. But what about when it comes to building our Christian homes? You know, I think if we were honest tonight and we start thinking about this building process and the duration of the building process in our own Christian homes, if we were honest, would there be some of us tonight that might admit, you know, I've been working at building my family, I've been working at building this Christian home, and I know it kind of resembles a Christian home. It has the look, it has the feel, so I've just kind of backed off the building process a little bit. Just kind of taken a step back and said, you know, it's good enough. It's good where it's at. I'm just going to take a break. If we have that kind of mentality based on what our verse in Psalm 127:1 says, we've labored in vain. Yeah. We've labored in vain. But here's the thing. When is the building of a Christian home really complete? Do you ever stop building a Christian home? Well, not really. You really never stop. The building process continues through the entire time that your home exists, not just when your children get to be a certain age and they graduate from high school or they go off to college or they get married and they move out and all these things take place. The goal is for the building process to continue from generation to generation. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." I don't want to stop building my Christian home when all my kids are out of the home. There's still work to do. I'm still a husband. And Lord willing, if we have grandchildren, I'll be a grandfather. And Karen will be a grandmother. We'll still have influence. There will still be work to do. In building the Christian home, you really never stop. It's really never done. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." As long as God has you on this earth, keep building. Amen. Keep building. Keep working. Don't get satisfied. Don't stop and say, hey, it looks good. It's better than it used to be. Well, that's great. Keep building. Keep building. So there's the duration of the building process. And then the final thing tonight is the defense of the building process. Not only must we be concerned with the duration of the building process, but also the defense. The building process involves defending our homes because Satan is always on attack. Satan is always attacking the home. There's constant work that needs to be done in our homes because, to be honest, we have to be honest. Satan is at work, and we've allowed him at times to do work and to do damage in our homes. We need to constantly be inspecting our homes because, like I said, Satan's always at work. And many times he's quietly and subtly tearing apart what we're trying to build. And sometimes we may not even notice it. We might not even realize it. And that's why we must continually inspect and repair and rebuild areas of our homes. But unfortunately, and we need to be honest with ourselves, every single one of us, myself included, sometimes, unfortunately, we do realize what's happening and we choose to ignore it. Let's say we've got a leaky roof or something in the house is dripping. Well, immediately, what do? We go grab a bucket. We put it under the drip, okay? And let's say we find another drip. Grab another bucket. And you put a bucket under this drip, and you put a bucket under that drip. And imagine what our home would be like if, instead of getting the drips and the problems fixed, that all we ever did was take bucket after bucket and put it here, put it there, and we go through our house, and we're just dodging buckets. We're stepping over things. We're just kind of tiptoeing around. You say, that's ridiculous. That's absurd that anybody would live that way. That illustration's not even close to how absurd it is for us to know that Satan is at work and attacking our Christian homes. And we can see the damage that's being done. It's obvious to us. We know what's happening. But we just go on with life tiptoeing around the buckets. We'll just plow through. That's not how we build a Christian home. That's not how we defend our Christian home. We're not protecting our homes that way. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, said this: how foolish it is to build and not to protect. Building and battling go together. That is why Nehemiah's men had their tools in one hand and their swords at their side. Church, the devil is after our homes. And he devises ways that he can devour. Yes, we need to be building our Christian homes, but we had better realize we must also be defending them. Well, as we conclude tonight, why do we need to hear this? Why do we need to hear this message about building a Christian home? Why are we devoting these weeks to helping families? Why can't we just get it right in our homes? Well, because sinners live in our homes. We need to realize that. I mentioned the message that I preached last year on revival in the home, and I read a quotation by Roy Hessian, the author of the book, The Calvary Road. And he has a chapter entitled Revival in the Home. And I'm going to read that again tonight as we conclude. And I want you just to listen what he has to say about the home. Thousands of years ago, in the most beautiful garden the world's ever known, lived a man and a woman. Formed in the likeness of their Creator, they lived solely to reveal Him to His creation and to each other, and thus to glorify Him in every moment of the day. Humbly, they accepted the position of a creature with the Creator, that of complete submission and yieldedness to His will. Because they always submitted their wills to His, because they lived for Him and not for themselves, they were also completely submitted to each other. Thus, in that first home, in that beautiful garden, there was absolute harmony, peace, love, and oneness, not only with God, but with each other. This first home pictures the fellowship with God and with each other with no regard for self. But he continues, "Then one day, the harmony was shattered, for the serpent stole into the God-centered home, and with him, sin. And now, because they had lost their peace and fellowship with God, they lost it with each other. No longer did they live for God. Each lived for himself. They were each their own God now. And because they no longer lived for God, they no longer lived for each other. Instead of peace, harmony, love, and oneness, there was now discord and hate." In other words, sin. Yes, our Christian homes are inhabited by sinners. But if you know the Lord as your Savior, Jesus Christ also lives there. Amen. And through God's Word, and through His work of redemption and grace, we can build the Christian home that God intends for us to have. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this evening.